Back together. Cool. Well, I wanted to continue on and begin this conversation or extend this conversation a little bit about how we as a whole congregation can begin to see how what God has been doing in our identity and some of the ways that we process life and ministry and relationship and seeing our opportunity to redeem this culture. And I have something talking to me on my machine. I apologize if I'm a little distracted. I don't know why it started talking. Evidently, I have new software available. Okay. So, before we get into that, I had intended last week to show you a couple things just where, because our house is a big part of what we see God doing in the future in our ministry and how to use that. One of the real benefits, I don't know if you're familiar with Mariana Butte, but that little corner lot right there is where we're going to be building. It's just north of First, the golf course out there. And so if you want to drive out there, and I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to drive out there and look at it. It's a fun place to look at. And this is a little bit of the awe we're going to have out of the back of our house for a restful thing. And whoops, went too far. That's kind of what it'll look like looking through the house. You don't need to look at all of them, but if you do like to geek out over plans, I love sharing them. If you were building a house, I would immediately want you to share the plans, because I like that stuff, but I realize that's kind of weird and not everybody likes that. But wanted to show you that. A couple other things I just wanted to, before we jump into this week, this vision, just a couple cool things. Obviously, lots going on in Asia. It is just a little freakish a small little congregation, family of faith like this would be sending a couple missionaries, have an opportunity to host a Chinese family. Obviously, the swings and their investment there long term, and all the people who've been touched by that, and we really don't even have that many Chinese restaurants in town. So what do you do with that here locally? But it's a fun process to see how God may use us. I'm going to talk a little bit about why that's important. But a couple of things that kind of were cool stories this week, and I just want to commend Gene Doty. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the homeless gentleman, and I just didn't have peace and just didn't feel like shuffling him along, and Gene just really came alongside him last week, and you know, I'd heard a little bit of his story. He'd kind of come here, pretty frail guy, pretty discouraged guy, not in any way a threat or pretty broken man. He actually moved here to try to reconnect with his daughter who lives here, and she just didn't want anything to do with it. She didn't want to have a relationship with him, and I'm sure there's lots of backstory to that and good reason, but it was just this really hard thing. And so he finally settled on a place that he felt like he should go back to Georgia, and Gene just really empowered that and came alongside him and loved on him and met needs and just sent him back. And so I had a great sense of peace that we were able to connect with him and try to move him to a better place rather than just kind of pushing him away. So my heart's in a very good place, and I'm so thankful, Gene, for your heart of service to him. And I'm assuming Edie was okay with all that, so I could commend you both for that heart. It wasn't certain, but he just really came alongside him. And his name's Ace. If you want to pray for him, think of him. Just remembering, most of those guys have a story. Obviously, lots of chemical, substance abuse things going on in the homeless population. There's lots of things and emotional, spiritual, but sometimes it's just life's been hard, and they haven't been able to be connected. And so I was just grateful that they were able to connect a little bit with the body as we went through that. And the other thing, a number of you met Mike Sloter Thursday morning as he came to prayer. They were out house hunting, and by Thursday afternoon, they looked at a bunch of houses and were excited about one, and then got not so excited about it. And so it's just like, oh no, here we go. This is going to be, we're here. We need to buy a house. They need to be out of their house June 7th, 6th, something in there. So it was this whole journey. It's been a conversation for about 6 or 7 months with them. Does God want us to move? They're here, and one of their stated intentions is to be here, is to immerse here in what we're doing. And it's anywhere in Colorado, living the dream is not their intention. They're trying to see if God has a ministry or a way to connect out here. And so going through the process as God would typically do, you know, the end of day one, it was, You know, they're, ah, you know, we don't, it's not going to happen. Day two is like, oh, okay, nothing happened today. And then day three, Saturday, you know, two new houses come on the market that they go, oh, hey, they actually put offers in on both of them. And last night on Saturday, Cindy got to see one of them and one of those houses. And one of the deadlines was 7 p.m. last night that they would hear back whether they got this one that they really wanted. It was really a, he is an architect, so he has even, he's even more attentive to detail and cares about that aesthetic more than some of us might, present company specifically. So it's a big deal to have a place that feels right, that works, and all those things. So anyway, Cindy and I just prayed like 3 minutes to seven. Well, God, just, you know, just let your will be known. And in this market, by the way, in their price range, it sells first day. If it's priced anywhere near right, it's and most of the time for more than they're asking. That's the market. That's the real estate market we live in. It's a far cry from when we first moved out here. But and so like, at seven, I mean, it was like we said, you know, in Jesus' name and whatever, and like the phone rang and they got the house. And so they were just excited and God's leaving and moving. And just so appreciate your prayer for those who knew that and were believing God for a story. And they closed June 7th. So that's like the day, gives them long enough to drive out here with their stuff and then they'll close on us, which is kind of miraculous in and of itself. In this market, things are pretty busy. So anyway, just a couple things just to share as a church family as we see God doing things. So when we think about this house, actually, let me pray. I would ask you in faith if you would be willing to let God expand, push on you, press on you, move you this morning. I don't know if it's going to be anything I say or what the Spirit may want to do to you or some amazing creative. Are you willing for God to lead you and speak to you and declare his authority over you in a yielded way? Speak, Lord, we're listening. And that, again, what I have to say may not be what the Lord uses to speak to you. But are you willing? And just join me in faith in that. Father, I do thank you that you are a God who speaks. You're always on the move. You are always working. You're always moving. You're always trying to accomplish your purposes. And God, you, the verse that declares your heart to have your eyes search to and fro throughout the earth for someone, some man, some woman who's willing to give you their heart, their affection, subject themselves to your goodness and direction. And you promise, God, if you find that person, you will strongly support them. You will come alongside them. That promise is true today. God, may we be a people who expect you when we give you our heart to lead us. And may you give us courage, God, to let you lead us in places that we have no idea what the outcome might be, what the cost may be in this earthly existence, but resting in your goodness and your character and your intentions for this planet. In Jesus' name, amen. So when Cindy and I are dreaming about how we think, how this is rolled out, really it's the sum total of a lifetime, and I've spent years trying to, God, is this where you want me to push? And this is actually the second house we built for this purpose. And as we were finishing that house in Solon, Iowa, somehow the Job journey began. As we had designed and built and in that place of going, Lord, we think you want us to do this, is not here, not now. And so we've been scrambling, not scrambling anxious, but just, Lord, where do you want us to press? What do you want us to be doing? And this has rolled out. And I don't know if it'll be big. I don't know. I have no aspirations to be an author or a lecturer. I just want good to flow through our life in powerful ways into the lives of people, that it would just keep flowing, that good, that grace, that faith, that seed of the gospel would keep bearing fruit to the very ends of the earth. And God can keep track of it. I don't care if anybody knows my name. I don't care. But I do want it to count, because I think God says we should want it to count. That's not arrogance. That's believing the promise of God. He's declared our faith significant to him and significant to his kingdom. and he'll sort it out. I do think it's significant. I think the opportunity that is before all of us is significant. I do expect life change. I do expect the message to go out. I do expect the kingdom to expand in ways that are significant, that really impact people, and that faith would endure. We're entering in a phase in our culture where we just don't know. I was up the mountain. A number of you prayed for that as well, just with a few pastors. And Carol, do you remember the name of the Bonhoeffer documentary? Have you seen that with John? Have you guys watched that? The Dietrich? Do you remember the name of it? Okay. If you want to go, I don't know where you get it, if it's only available on CD. I think John was just playing it on his computer. But anyway, we watched the life of I'm not going to try to pronounce it in German. I'm just going to do it the way we, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Fascinating story of this transition from a young man. He's born in 1906. Anybody know how or when he died? So a number of you have been exposed to his books and different things. I hope you have. I mean, it's kind of classic Christian stuff. Anybody know how or why he died or when? In a concentration camp, age 39. And you watch this journey and you go, oh, Lord, what were you thinking? Why? And literally, the war was over when he was executed. It's a profound, profound story of creating a Lord. What is it you're trying to accomplish on this earth? Because this is not, you think, what could he have done? Great thinker. Understood some things at the church at the time, and yet somehow God had a significant impact through his life. Significant impact through his life. And so we don't know what if we're going to die early, die late, if we're going to see the fruit, but somehow God is going to strongly support the one whose heart is completely his. And when you think about what the church is supposed to be doing, if we looked at, okay, God, you gave us the Great Commission. You gave us this ministry, this mission of making disciples of all the earth, teaching them to observe all that you commanded, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You made this promise that you would be with us in it. So what is that going to look like? And I would resubmit to you, in case you didn't hear it the first time, what that looks like is the book of Acts. The people who heard and talked and listened and were transformed by the life and ministry, earthly ministry of Jesus as a person, what they did, what they took from that is they went and did the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the Apostles is what it's called, but it's really, what did the Holy Spirit do through these people? And so when we think about what is our life going to look like, do we look at the book of Acts or do we look at church history? Do we look at contemporary church culture and say that's normal, that's what we should be doing? Or do we look at those who were trained by Jesus and immediately set out to put into practice what he told them? And that's different. It's different. The book of Acts could be titled The Great Commission Obeyed. What does that look like, Lord? Well, that's what it looks like. Obviously, there's cultural context that we would need to pay attention to. But the heart and the intention and the patterns of life that were laid down, that's what we see. And when I think about what would it look like if the book of Acts was lived out, our paradigms, what we set our hope on, what we wake up thinking about, how we see the power of God rolling out, what's our intention, I think God would want to mold that and shape that into something different perhaps than what the world of Christendom would speak to us of ease and wealth and prosperity and, you know, good lives and balanced checkbooks and comfortable retirements. And I just think it's different. I think it's different. All 11 save John were martyred. And so we've been on that journey of trying to figure out, God, how can we live out the book of Acts? And we've tried a number of things as a couple, as a family, as a vision, tried to partner with people, tried to enlist people. And over the last 4 or 5 years, we've watched people struggle, faith struggle deeply. And we scratch our head, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing? This does not feel like you're strongly supporting some kingdom work, some way to walk this out. And I don't know how you process all that. I don't know if you even think at that level. I hope you do. I hope you dream about your life counting, especially you young ones. Boy, I hope you use these years of youthful zeal to dream big dreams and not just plug into this American dream. You should be a little crazy. You should be a little reckless. Parents, you should let them. Because they, first century, they were kind of reckless. I remember years ago, 4 years or so ago, I was out praying, just walking the streets of Loveland early in the morning, just praying over neighborhoods, praying over houses, praying over families I had never met, probably never will meet, just asking God to do a work. And this thought occurred to me when I think about the city of Loveland. What could we embrace as a vision? What could we could we walk in? And it's kind of goofy. But Lord, what if this town, and we try to milk it with the Sweetheart City and, you know, the Valentine stuff, but what if this town really, we could effectively create this subtle kingdom current in the city of Loveland that in people's minds and experience, what it became was Loveland. And for 4 years I've been praying, God, I want this to be Loveland. I don't want it to be whoever, I can't remember the guy's first name, early governor, railroad guy. I don't remember. I've looked it up and since forgotten. But what if this dream of agape, the love of God, was present, and we could be facilitators of that, of bringing a sniff, a texture that the culture may not even be aware of, and yet they were immersed in it, and we were a part of that. And that's how I've been praying, that we would be Loveland. We would be Loveland. When we think about what would take for that to happen, some of the upperclassmen, Yoko, we had over for dinner, had this little discussion on the book on Romans 12. And we think about our job, how we relate. And so there's a number of little snippets, but there's two pretty complete pictures of what body life looks like. One is very pragmatic and organizational, and that would be in 1 Corinthians 12, where it's talking about the gifts and the necessity of all the different things. That's kind of present in Romans 12, but the bigger theme of Romans 12 is this affection, this relational attitude, this way of thinking about each other. And one of the conclusions I think is of the Spirit is the very end of Romans 12. You guys remember what the phrase actually is? Anybody that was there? Remember what the conclusion of Romans 12 was? Well, but the way it's said is, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so there's this conclusion that leads us to a place like Loveland, that we can overcome evil with love, with good. But the converse is also true. If we don't practice these things, evil wins. And when we think about culture, when we think about the flow of the current, and, you know, even in worship, we're reminded, well, this is a really broken, hard place. And I pray we don't stay there. That's not our hope. I don't sense we're walking around going, oh no, we're all dead. I don't sense that's our spirit, but it's pretty naive not to see it. Everything's fine. There's nothing there. Everything's happy. No. But in Christ, we do not grieve as those who have no hope, because we have a hope. We're different. We have the Spirit. We're new. We have a new identity. We can rest in that. And then we can begin conforming our affections and our attitudes towards this picture of Romans 12, where Loveland would actually exist. And John 17:22, the glory that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. And you guys have heard me share this a lot, and I'll keep sharing it a lot, because I think it's central to the picture we're supposed to create and demonstrate and live and model in the midst of culture, the Cercenus's neighborhood. There's a picture that the Spirit of God would call them to represent in every one of us in our context. And it starts with our families and our relationships. I and them, you and me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me. The testimony of Loveland would be, God is here. And I'm not thinking it's going to become some revival where everybody's a believer. But it doesn't take that many people living like this that the whole culture changes. The whole vibe of a place changes. We don't have to have everybody buy in. We need a remnant that are willing to live like being one really is our secret weapon, that we can create a culture that continues to expand like yeast through our city, through our neighborhoods, through the schools. It smells like love. Where there is an acceptance, and I go much deeper into this idea, when you see the relational needs laid over Romans 12, it's just like, whoa. Whoa. It's all there. And so when I think about what are we positioned to do as a family of faith, what is going to be our part? And you know, as we've walked through, I don't know if it's over. I may go on another 10 years. I don't know. The jury's out. What's God going to do? Is He going to do it now? Is He going to be a bring a blessing? Is He going to restore fortune? I don't know. What I choose to do is not going to be conditional on what God chooses to do. I'm going to keep trying to live out the book of Acts and trust in time that He will bear fruit, much fruit, according to John 15. And I really don't care if I get to see it. But that's what I'm believing for. My choices day by day are not going to be rooted in, oh, wait a minute, I'm in a Job trial, or God's small voice isn't very loud, and I don't know what He's doing exactly, so I'm just going to sit here and stare at my navel until I figure it out. I'll just keep doing the book of Acts. And trust it is. So I don't know if that's coming. But as we've wrestled with that, there have been so many difficult things. At a personal level, watching people's faith, it has been almost overwhelming. There have been weeks, months, where every time I consider a person and the outcome and their choices, I have to spend some time weeping. So all I can do is grieve. And then I hopefully I appropriately grieve and move back into God, whatever, my eyes are on You. My eyes are on You. My eyes are on You. The Lord gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we rest in that. It's been such a different pattern from my early ministry years ago. Lord, what is going on? And wrestled. But at the same time, especially in Loveland, Loveland, I'm going to start saying it that way, so don't correct me. I'm starting a personal mission to change the pronunciation. I see God, the work of God in so many lives and hearts. It's just been a blast. It's just been a blast. And I thought of this verse in Philemon. I thank my God always when I remember You in my prayers, because I hear of Your love and of the faith that You have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of Your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from Your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through You. And I just want you to know, as I watch those steps of faith, my heart is refreshed. The gospel is spoken to my soul when I see people making those choices. Little threads. When I watch those who've been in the conversation trying to help influence Yoko, it's been a blessing to see their hearts being shepherded through conflict and misunderstanding and preference. Unusual response of faith. A willingness to be led. I see hearts being healed, faith fighting for joy, and it coming out even in the midst of very, very challenging situations. I see seasons of deepening and growth. I was compelled this morning just to commend my dear bride. God has done a work in drawing out this amazing wisdom and faith. See, I knew her when she was 16. Okay, so I have a lot of context for who she is. We celebrated the 39th anniversary of our first date with our Yoko friends. We'll celebrate again later in a different place. But I know the work of God. And I see it happening. I see it happening in lives. And just this week, just a couple examples. I don't know why I was so aware of this. As we were gathered for men's prayer, And there's lots of heavy stuff and hard things that we pray for. I was just overwhelmed as I heard a gospel identity flowing out of those men. A hope and a joy and a rest and a thanksgiving, even in the midst. It was just like, just the gospel being preached to me as they share burdens, petition the Lord, and yet are resting in this gospel identity. No, just hardly any, if any, churchy talk and you know, travel mercy kind of garbage you hear flowing out of people's prayers, but heartfelt devotion and resting in the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life, believing Him even in the midst of those hard things. And it was just this just incredible joy, because that's the fruit of the Spirit doing a work and growing people up. And it's, so it's not like, oh man, nothing's happened. No, there's amazing things happening. God is building a foundation of faith. I'm just so grateful that over the last few years, I hear the language of the Spirit taking a more central role in defining and leading and directing and empowering how we see things, a dependence on the power of the Spirit rather than here's the truth, do the truth, but this recognition that if it's going to happen, the Spirit of God has to produce that. I am not capable of changing that. And I want to continue on in this vein and lay that out, but I'm sensitive, because I could probably have another half hour. So just a few more things, just commendations. I look at relationships, young marriages, people fighting through those things. I think of how God, it's just a joy, people walking through very, very hard things. Very, very hard things. And it's somehow in the core of it, Lord, our eyes are on You. And in the midst of tears, a joy and a peace. In the midst of that, I'm just thrilled with some of the faith of the people we get to run with a little more regularly. I've just been so encouraged watching Janine specifically process a second loss and keep saying, Lord, my eyes are on You. My eyes are on You. Lead me. Lead me. Direct me. I'm just thrilled with Linda's zeal and faith to know God and just searching it out and sharing her life without guile. Just, this is who I am, and I want to know Jesus more, and I want to figure this out. It's just been so fun. Because when you get older, it's not supposed to happen anymore. The cement's supposed to be set. And I see faith alive in the Freemans joining with a heart for ministry and vision. It's time to retire, guys. They go, no, we want to impact this city. We want to do something. And just so many examples. The work of the Spirit in Rob's life has been profoundly miraculous. And I don't know if miraculous can be anything but profound. but I can't think of a modifier. It is so refreshing to see the power of God at work, redeeming so many things. I know you guys thought I was all completely nuts 2 years ago. Lord, would you guys pray with me, please, that we don't have to refinance our building? Yeah, whatever. I think God's going to do that. And that's going to empower more ministry and more opportunities. God is doing amazing things, and it's often through our pain and suffering. But somehow we're clinging to that place. We're clinging to that place. I don't have the answers. I don't like the circumstances, but our eyes are on You. And as we consider what we're going to bring to the city of Loveland, it starts with that. It starts with that. The gospel real and alive in our own hearts and lives. And rest in that. Celebrate each other. Commend each other. Look for opportunities to see that faith and to recognize it's all just a nasty mess. Trust me. I've been doing this a long time. It's slow and yucky, and there's conflict and bad behavior and stumbling and falling and getting back up, and we do it all together in such a way. The Lord gives and takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. God, we want to believe that your eyes are on us, because here's our hearts, here's our lives. We bow to your authority, and we cultivate an affection for your grace and your mercy and your love for us, and we want to rest in it. Join me this week, please, in positioning ourselves as a people of God who are willing to live in the gospel, even in those Job-like moments. You're all going to have them, by the way. Some of them are a day long. But if you want to be mature in the faith, there's going to be seasons where God is very quiet and very distant. At least that's what it feels like. He's not really. Everything's in complete control. Everything's in complete control. And yet we go, where are you, Lord? Where are you? Will we continue to cling to the gospel and celebrate the faith that we see in other people as we band together to become an influence and impress into the kingdom work in Loveland the joy of the Lord? Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this people. While there's lots of things that I would measure and go, Lord, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Never in my life have I seen so much evidence of your Spirit actively producing faith and the joy and the fruit of the Spirit rolling out in spite of the incredible challenges of life. God, I pray we would recognize, I'm sure, the first century was 80% slaves, had lots of stuff. It was not their chosen circumstances, God, and yet somehow they changed the world because they believed the gospel. May we be a people who believe the gospel and celebrate when we see the gospel being expressed in the lives of one another. In Jesus' name, amen.